1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're looking at verse 1 to start with. We have several things we want to look at. Number 1, this is called the love chapter. And we thank God for it. It's one of the most eloquent and marvelous passages of Scripture in all the Bible. And we just rejoice in it. It says in verse 1, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." What a powerful passage of Scripture. And yet if we don't understand love, if we haven't been ministered to in love, it's a foreign language. What's saying is like water over a duck's back. You can preach about love and you can preach about love, but it doesn't register. It doesn't register unless it is quickened by the Holy Spirit. And here we find that Paul is telling us that it matters not how gifted we are. No matter what our gifts are that allow us to perform, if there's not God's love, it's an emptiness. It is doing some good, no doubt, but it's not doing the good that God wants to be manifest, where that He causes us to love one another. We're living in a time that we love excellence. We love people that look good, act good, behave good, make good money, have a good education. We look for excellence in this hour. We applaud excellence. There is no real sense of love except we see something outstanding. And even in our children, we want children with outstanding grades, if at all possible. We want to be able to see them with outstanding skill. To be able to do something, whether it's hockey or whether it's basketball or whatever it is, to say that my son is doing something, my daughter is doing something, my son is going to become something, my son, my daughter, they are great people, they're on the honor roll, and all of this is wonderful and good. But what happens is that we've lost the sense of love that is able to reach out like God's love and include somebody who is not on the honor roll. Do you know when Jesus chose you, not one of you were on the honor roll? All had sinned and come short of the glory of God. There was none good, no, not one. And God reached down in His mercy and His love. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But I propose that before He died, He loved us. While we were yet sinners, He loved us. We love people who do the right thing. We love people who get the job done. We love people that are just magnetic and charismatic in all their personality. But it takes the Spirit of the living God to really reveal what love is to us. I propose that most of us don't know what love is, and that includes your pastor. Oh, I know what it is on levels, but not on God's level. And I think that we need to quit this thing of congratulating ourselves and saying, "I'm on my way to heaven and I'm there, and I hope some of you others get there too." We all stand in the need of prayer. There's none in this hour that need not God's mercy. None of us here that need not God's grace. And the best of people, if you would listen to them in their relationship with their family, you would wonder. The best of people, if you saw them in other situations, you would wonder. The best of people would disappoint you. Do you know that? The best of people would disappoint you. If you could get on the behind scenes of all the greatness in ministry, you would be disappointed. You would be disillusioned if you could get to the scenes that are behind the stage when it comes to the greatest and most dramatic of ministries. You would look and you would think, "I'm saddened by this. I'm saddened by this. I'm saddened by this. I knew I had a problem, but I sure thought they had it together. I knew that I was lacking something, but I sure thought that they had what it takes, I look and I find that it seems that sometimes the momentum of success brings forth greater success without greater transformation. But God wants to transform us. God wants to make us exceedingly greater than what we've been in the past. He's brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He's brought us from the kingdom of darkness into His Son. And we have to know in this moment, this is a process. I want to tell you, saints, this is a process. You do not get your diploma. You do not come to the place where you have arrived. You're in this hour being challenged by God, and God will always challenge you, but you have to know that there's more before you will receive more. You will not get more when you say your cup is full. You have to say, fill me up, God. Fill my cup. Fill it up, dear God. Fill me with your mercy, your love, your joy. Help me, dear God. Help me to be what I ought to be. He speaks about love. He says, love is patient, kind, does not envy, does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. What a powerful passage of Scripture. And it will take the Holy Spirit. And I propose, if you really want God to do something in your life, meditate on this. Meditate. Don't just let it be a message your preacher, your pastor preaches. Meditate. Digest it. Take those two, three verses that are really core here and realize that in every one of them that it says love does, there's times when we don't. Everything that love does, there's times when we fall short. And we need to do this so that we could appreciate love, not feel condemned, not feel like, oh, what am I? Here I am and I'm getting beat up again by the Word. No. The Word is not to beat us up. The Word is to give us a standard, is to give us something to shoot for, to give us something to pray about, to give us something to reach for. The Word challenges us. If the Word of God is not challenging you, you're not getting into God's Word in the way you ought. The Word of God always challenges us and says, come up higher. How do you think you can be humble without the Word of God? You don't get humble by all the applause that comes your way. You become humble when you realize, without you, I can do nothing. You need God to touch your life. There's a verse here that I want you to see. It's verse 10. I was here Thursday night. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. I love that. When perfection comes, the imperfection disappears. When perfection comes, what is imperfect is no longer there. When you begin to make the three-point shots, you will find a lot of your lousy game is gone. You don't hit just the blackboard. After a while, you begin to sense something is happening. And you watch some of those people who get just net and no hoop at all. And you look at that and you just think, amazing. But for that perfection, you have to give up something. But you don't give it up by knowing. You get it up by being perfected. You don't say, I'm going to quit hitting the wrong place. You just say, I'm going to hit where I ought to hit. And when you begin to hit where you ought to, you're no longer hitting in the wrong place. When God begins to change our life, He begins to cause us to do the right thing. And the perfection begins to show itself. The love begins to show itself. And everything else around about becomes modified and challenged and changed by the power of God perfecting our lives.
We need God to bring us on into perfection. We need God to help us in this hour, not just simply to say it's good enough. Had a young man who was painting a room and knew him real well in the church. And as he was painting, he had paint all over everywhere. He had paint, you know, all over the floor. He had it all over the woodwork. It was sad. And I came to him. I said, "Brother, this is not right. This is not good." And he looked at me with a wonderful look on his face. And he said, "You know, when Jesus was a carpenter, I think he hit his thumb." Well, I couldn't argue with that point because I don't know where it says he did or didn't. But nevertheless, what he was saying, this is all right. Listen, nothing's all right except what God's standard is. You can't just simply say, "I always get mad. I always am depressed. I always am discouraged." No, God, change me. Because you got to be in the process after you're saved of God doing a continual work in your life. And one of the ways that God does a work in your life is through what we call feedback. It's what your boss says to you. It's what your wife says to you. It's what your children sometimes even say to you. It's the things that you receive. You need feedback or you don't change much. It's the feedback that happens that makes a difference. It's the feedback. You're going down the street and you hear the sound of the drums hitting steel. And you know, "I'm going to get brakes on this car." Why? Because you're getting feedback. The thing begins to miss and it shifts, but not very well. You say, "This car needs a tune-up." Why? Because you're getting feedback. Some people are isolated in their own little world and they're not changing and growing in the church because you need fellowship with the saints. You need fellowship with the Word. You need fellowship with the ministry of the gospel working in your life after salvation. You need input that says, "There's a higher road than this. There's a better path than this. There's more than this," so you can go on and grow great, because you need to be challenged, and God challenges every one of us. But it doesn't bring depression for long. It brings hope for joy, because when the perfect comes, I don't mess with that anymore. When the perfect comes, I'm not bound with that anymore. When the perfect comes, I'm not watching that anymore. When the perfect comes, I'm not going there anymore. When the perfect comes, I'm not caught up in that anymore. When the perfect comes, I'm not messed up anymore. Thank God we can go on to perfection. While we will not be totally perfect, it is a perfecting walk that we're in, and we can go on and grow great because God's working in our lives. And some of you that may be new in the Lord, it's a joy when you hear your family talk about you. "Well, John's got religion now." And they laugh a little bit, but they're proud of you. I want you to know that most people are proud of people who make a genuine change. Most people, even lost in the world, are proud of people who get more than just religion. That get something that changes their conduct, their life, when they look and see you're not bound by the devil any longer. You're not behaving the way you used to. You're not acting that way in your marriage anymore. And people who didn't even think you would make it are now wondering if maybe you can make it. And you can make it. The perfect will change so that the imperfect disappears. Thank God for the privilege of an imperfection disappearing. Perfection comes. When perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. And then there's two other thoughts that come right after it. When I was, and then when I became. He speaks about when I was, and the words that follow are a child. But I want to just hold those words for a moment. When I was, you as a Christian will begin to know clearly that you're not who you were. That you're not in the same category of who you were. You have to believe that you're changed. that the power of God has transformed your life, that God has brought you out of what you were in, that God has caused you to be more than what you were, that there is progress in the Christian experience and it goes forward. He says, when I was, but no, not just that, when I became. And what did he became? He said, I became a man. I became a man. When I was a child, I thought as a child, acted as a child, thought and understood as a child, but when I became a man, it was easier to do better. When I became other, it was easier to perform on a higher level. When I became other, it was easier to be what I ought to be. And as a Christian, if we're trying where we're still in our baby in mind and experience, our immaturity to please God, we're going to find that there is no celebration, no great joy. But when we make a transition, which is the work of God that happens as a process, because you don't become a man except you go through a process. Now, have you ever met a child who thinks they're already grown up? Get on your nerves. I mean, if you ever want to see something, get on your nerves. See a 12-year-old child who thinks he's 22. See a 12-year-old child just getting into all the conversations with the adults and acting like I'm there. And you think, child, go be a child. Be a child. There's nothing wrong with being a child. We are called to be a child, but not to stay as a child. And so you've got to accept your childhood before you can really move into your manhood. Otherwise, all you're going to have is confusion and rejection. And we got a lot of saints who are trying to act like they're grown up and they're not grown up yet. Just tell God, I'm a child. I don't know my way in or out. I need you to direct me. I need you to teach me. I need you to build me. I need you to establish me. I'm a child in this moment, but I'm not always going to be a child. I am going to become. 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 Praise God. I am going to become. A process has been loosed and it will not tarry. It will be that which God ordains. I will become. You watch and see immature people run into marriage. Some woman comes along and says, well, I'm getting married. Tony, he just got saved last week and he asked me to marry him. He just got out of jail for wife beating and got a divorce and he's mine. No. Just because you get saved doesn't mean you've become what you're going to become. You're going to be more than what you were. In any point of your life, there is what you were and what you've become and what you're going to become. And you've got to be able to embrace all three. And whatever place you're in now, thank God for it. When Paul spoke, he said, I was a child. But remember, before he was a child, he was a baby. But he had gone from being a baby to a child. And now he looked and saw he'd become a man. So the two points that were important to him was what he was now and what he was, but also what he is becoming. And I want to encourage you, as you go from level to level, the last level that you left will be one that you still are very aware of. The one that you're in, you will find that it is one that encourages you, but the celebration is the one you're going to take hold of, because God's got greater things for every one of us. As Christians, we can say, I was immature. I was discouraged. I was without understanding. I was self-centered. I was fearful. I was all these things. But now I am growing and I'm becoming somebody who can do what I couldn't do yesterday. I'm somebody in this hour that can move forward in this hour. And I know in this moment that every time that God gives me perfection, something imperfect disappears. Every time God brings me a step higher, I drop off something. Every time God blesses me to go forward. I don't carry what I carried, the baggage before. I'm being changed and transformed by His Spirit working in my life. I am growing. I am growing. And don't let somebody else's growth disappoint you. You're not Pastor Bogle. You're not anybody other than yourself. You're a unique individual. But the fact of the matter is that you were, and now you are, and tomorrow you will be. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Accept the fact I was what I was because of what was there. I was there because of all that happened in that situation. I was a child. I was imperfect. I was just discouraged. I was short-sighted. I was all of these things. You name it. And in the midst of it all, begin to sense in this moment, but now I become what I was not. Every Christian, you are becoming. God's working in your spirit. You're becoming. The best days for a child of God is never behind them. It's always a forward look. You have to know I'm going forward in God. I'm being blessed in God. I'm prospering in the Lord. And I'm thankful that God is causing me to be equipped to have a foundation that causes me to rejoice. Now I want to tell you something about the world. The world makes up its mind concerning you. And sometimes the world thinks you better than you are. I remember when I was just a youngster. And we'd moved from one city way across town to another. Went into the classroom. The teacher said, "Students, this is George Bogle. Make him real welcome." And they did. And I thought, boy, this school's great. It wasn't long until I was about the same level I was at the other school as far as popularity. Because they got to know me. You see, in the world, sometimes you can get a job that's over your head. Then you better step up or you're going to be stepping down. You may find that people, they just really respect you. Then you better earn that respect or it will be vanishing. You may find at times that there's people who give you more credit than what you deserve. And the world is used to this. They're used to looking good at the beginning. They call the shoe that drops, the last shoe that drops. That's the moment when things really change. But as a Christian, it doesn't get worse for you. It always gets better because all things work together for good to those that love God and those that are called according to His purpose, because He doesn't deal with your reputation. He deals with reality, and He knows where you're at on your walk in Him. He knows whether you're a child. He knows whether you're growing. He knows whether you're maturing. But if you are growing, you can rejoice and praise God and know that when people get to know me, they're going to know that I'm on a journey and God is causing me to be transformed and I'm going forward in Him. He's changing me. He's changing me. He's changing me. Christians find that their way of relating to their children becomes more what God wants in time. In their marriage, we don't find that all of a sudden we found out that everything is wrong. We begin to sense that though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because God's with me. And God's going to bring me through. And I become what I haven't been. I become what wasn't me. I find that God is changing me as He ministered to those who came. Sometimes He changed like Peter changed his name, made him something more in his name. And so that's what God is doing. He's changing your name, as it were. He's making you Mr. Overcomer. He's making you Sister Victorious. He's making you a people in this hour that are being transformed by the power of God's Spirit. And He's working in your life. And He's not particularly a religious God. He is a God of life and a God of love. And He works inside of ways that are marvelous and wonderful. And when the Holy Spirit works in your life, you're able to stand and say, I was, but I have become. I was, but I have become. I was, but I have become. You're not who you started out. Nobody can get your number because your number is changing. You're not number 37. Your number is being changed from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation. People who said, oh, I know all about her. You don't know all about her. You know all about her childhood, but you don't know all about her adulthood, because God's taking her into womanhood where that she can rejoice in the fullness of the Spirit of God, in the grace of God, in the power of God, God working in us. I was, but I became, and I'm becoming. That's what is your testimony. I was, but I became. A step up. But I'm becoming. I'm becoming. I am becoming more than what I have been. And when the perfect comes, the imperfect disappears. I just love that. We're going to close in a moment. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect disappears. When you do not know how to communicate, how to accomplish what needs to be done, sometimes you use what works, which might be anger. When you don't know how to lead your children into a more perfect walk, sometimes the thing you fall back on is anger. Yelling and screaming because it's the only thing the kids understand, you say. But when God causes you to be a better parent, the anger disappears. Isn't that beautiful? Whatever is working in this hour will not be needed in the next as you grow. There are some people that are so far down in the pit that the only thing that buys them any time is a lie. And so they lie. They lie because they need to cover their tracks. They lie because if the wife really knew, she'd get a divorce. They lie because they see nothing else that will work. But when God begins to work in our life, we don't have to lie anymore. The imperfect disappears. This Christian life works. This Christian life is meant to work so that you can give up some of the things that you've been hanging on to because you didn't know what to do in the midst of all that's going wrong. And so you had to see yourself in this moment grabbing whatever you could to keep from being destroyed. But when God begins to equip you, you can say, I don't need that anger anymore. I don't need that pride anymore. I don't need that defensive attitude anymore. I don't need all of that going on anymore. Why? Because I was, but I have become, and I am still becoming. 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 I'm amazed when I hear a lot of Christians in different churches and they sound almost as if the Christian experience is static. I was lost, now I'm saved, and that's it. No. I am becoming. It is a process. And whatever works in childhood does not work the same way in adulthood. And whatever works when we get beyond that into the love life that God has for us does not work in the self-centered life that we have. You see, the world functions on the philosophy that God helps those that help themselves, and I'm going to get mine and you better get yours. And it functions. You can survive with that kind of a philosophy. If everybody just went out and did everything they could, you could survive. But it's imperfect. God said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, in that you have love one toward another. And so God wants to bring us into a perfection so that the imperfect can be done away with. So we can disappear. The fact of believing that I got to keep everything for myself. I can't do anything but just focus on me. I am the center of my goal and my success. It's me, and everybody else has to take care of themselves. That is a philosophy that's in the world, and it works, and it's in the church, and it works. But when the perfect is come, you see, the problem with us Christians is we found something that works. And you can stay a child and still live, but you cannot live in joy. You can stay a child and be 60 years of age, but you can't have blessing. You can stay a child and be 50 years of age, but God wants you to be able to give up something by having something greater brought into your grasp so that the imperfect disappears. And the church has to know in this moment, we're hanging on to our security blanket. We're hanging on to the things that have worked. We're hanging on to the things that have allowed us to survive, but it won't allow us to grow. But we've got to grow. We've got to get out of this cocoon. We got to break free in this hour. God's saying, come up higher. And we're saying, I'll stay as a child. But God says, but if you will take hold of that which is perfect, then the imperfect will disappear. Your fear, your struggle, your discouragement, all the bitterness that you have, all the feelings of being betrayed and used wrongly, it won't matter in that moment. You'll forget it, because what's happening will be so exciting that you'll go on from glory to glory, rejoicing in what God is doing in your spirit and in your life. If you were here today and you were a brand new Christian, what would I say to you on this morning? I would say something different on another day. But today I would tell you that there are no authorities in Christ. You get into God's Word and you ask God, the Holy Ghost, to lead and guide you in all truth. You're going to find a lot of people who put themselves in the place of being an authority, and they're telling you everything that you need to do. But you need to search your heart. You need God to speak to you. You need God to bring a truth from here, from there, from someplace else, and to work within your spirit. God wants to do something deep inside of you. He wants to make himself very personal to you. You've got to understand that you're not coming to the authority, no matter who it is, not even Pastor Bogle, and I try as best I can to be but a channel. I don't lift myself up. I lift up Jesus. I lift up His Word. I don't build my spirit to lead you and confirm what He's telling you through the Scriptures, through pastors, through those that God has established in the church. And remember this, that your whole life story is, I was, I became, I'm becoming. Don't ever forget that. Thank God for what you were, that you are not now. Don't go around thinking, oh, to be a child again. Most of us, we wouldn't want to risk it. We're thankful we got this far the way it is. But there are people who just wish that the past was what they could still be involved in. Your life is not in the past. Your life is today and the future. Thank God, no matter where you're at. The psalmist David said, I was young and now I'm old. But he said, I've learned a lot in the process. And in the process, I've observed a lot. And what I have found is that never have the righteous been forsaken. Never is it that God's seed begs bread. We learn in the process. One of the greatest things is what you're learning.
What you're learning. It's not just what you've got as far as material things. It's the you that is important. It's not what you have or don't have. It's what God is doing in building you. He's building you to be a beautiful person that is a blessing wherever you go. You are meant to be a blessing. You are meant to encourage others. People are meant to look at you and be attracted to you because of what God has done in your life, what you came from, to where you are, to where you're going. I encourage you, Saint, you are a Christian. That is not a static experience, that is an ongoing manifestation of God's creative work in your life. Stand with me in the service today. Paul says, I was. He said, I became. I move forward. And the end of that thought is that I will become more than I am today. I will become more than this moment. And one of the things that God is going to use to help me to grow is input. The convicting work of the Holy Spirit, the encouraging work of the Holy Spirit. What people point out about me, whether it's in your life a boss or colleague, people deal with the reality. Not what we wish to think about ourselves. They know if we're not organized. They know if we're not compassionate. People are used of God as iron sharpens iron. And so don't make everybody an enemy so that you can forget what they're saying. Bless those who despitefully use you. Forgive your enemies. Go beyond them, even with her help. You're on a journey. You're on a journey of change so that the gifts that God gives you can shine more brightly, and so the distracting things will be taken out of the picture by the grace of God. But when the perfect is come, the imperfect disappears. When we first came to Detroit, when God called me to do that, we started working with young people. And I put out a kind of an appeal on the radio saying that we were going to be working with young people coming to Detroit. I got a call from Canada. And there was a young man who said, I want to come and be a part of what you spoke of. Well, there was no place to keep him but my house. And he said, I'll be coming into the Greyhound bus station. Meet me there. And I forgot to ask him what he looked like. And I pulled up in the car in front of the Greyhound, and I saw a guy standing there in a woman's fur coat, long hair, and granny glasses. And the Holy Ghost said, that's him. I brought him in the car and I brought him home. My wife had been out shopping. She took one look at him and then she stared a hole through me. It was that look that says, you stupid. And we were around the house there for, I don't know, the best part of an hour. Piano in the family room. And he sat down and he began to play. Could he play? it wasn't long until Shirley sat down next to him. And they were both playing. And when the perfect came, the imperfect disappeared. You need God to work in your life, the perfect. Because it not only disappears in the eyes of other people, but God caused it to actually disappear. I remember I hated that woman's coat. That fur coat, I just hated it. And our parking lot in Mount Clemens wasn't paved, and it was wet and muddy, and the car was kind of stuck, and he got behind me pushing so we could get out. And I didn't realize it, but I covered that coat in a mud bath. And I never saw it again. You see, God has a way of making the imperfect disappear, but you got to have the perfect. You got to have the perfect. You got to get something perfect in your life. And what is Paul saying? If you want to get rid of this garbage, you better get some love. The perfect thing is love. You better get some love. You better let love flow. It's not the way you worship. It's not the way that you cast out devils. It's not the way you heal the sick. It's not the way you teach. It's not the way you preach. It's the way you love. And when you love the way you ought to love, really in the Spirit of God, not just some warm, fuzzy feeling, but you love out of the anointing of the Spirit of God, and His love begins to flow inside of you, the imperfect will disappear. Thank God. I don't usually call you to the front of the church on 8 o'clock services, but I want to do that today. I want to just ask all of you to just come near to the front, because I know that you've come from different places and there's a lot of separation between all of us. There's a lot of privacy that we have that covers just a whole lot of trouble and struggle, a whole lot of things that's not all that it ought to be. But God is working in our life, and we need the perfect to come, because the imperfect is already there. It's got to disappear, but before you ever get the perfect, you've had the imperfect. Before you ever get the gift, you've had the liability. You need the touch of the Master upon your life. You need to be able to know that you're going to boast in something. You're going to put your boast in something. That's natural. That's nature. I was at our church downriver, and we've sold that property, and we had to move some things out. I was waiting for a couple of brothers, and there was a big platform that was real heavy. And I thought, I can put that on the trailer by myself just as a kind of a boast. When they come, it'll already, that one will be on there. And I'll be able to, you know, to boast about the fact I did it all by myself. I'll be able to boast about that. If you are not boasting about love, you're going to be boasting about something else. If love is not the cornerstone of your impression, then it's going to be your strength, your wisdom, your gifts, your ability. You're going to somehow be known for something. That's why you have to make your boast in what's most important. Because if you do not consider love to be the most important, you're going to find something else that you're going to try to impress somebody with. You're going to find something else, whether it's beauty for a woman or whether it's money for a man or whatever it might be. You're going to find something that you're going to try to make this your boast. Make your boast that God has brought you to a place in Him where that you understand God's love. God's love, so powerful and so rich. God's love, so that the imperfect disappears. Lift your hands for a moment. Just praise God. You're the body of Christ. Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If there's any here today that's not saved, you stay at the altar afterwards, and we'll surely pray with you. But you're the people that love God in this hour. You've been brought to know Him. And He's called you in this moment. Not only what you were, but what you have become and what you are becoming. And God's doing an ongoing work in your life. We're going to thank God for where He's leading you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this moment that we're not perfecting what already has been. Lord, we're celebrating what is becoming. We are embracing, dear God, what is before us. We look, dear God, in this moment, and we thank You, God, that You are bringing us into a new place in Thee. And I pray, God, that You'd continue that work that You've begun, that You would continue that work, that You would do a deep work, that You would cause us, dear God, to see that we're not moving toward the past, but toward the future in the knowledge that He who's begun a good work in us is continuing that work. Therefore, we rejoice. We praise You, God. We magnify, we exalt Your name. And we thank You, Father. We claim it in Jesus' name. And God's people said amen. God bless you today. God bless you richly.